The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 12th chapter. Jesus said, I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. And from now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it's going to rain. And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat. And so it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? The Gospel of the Lord. Well, as Trey said, these are confusing, difficult words. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, division. And from now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, and mother against daughter and daughter against mother. What in the world? I like my dad. I have a wonderful dad. What in the world is Jesus saying here? Father against son and son against father? And you know the fourth commandment of God given to Moses is honor your father and your mother. And Martin Luther's explanation in the small commandment, a small catechism, is we are to fear and love God, so that we do not despise or anger our parents and others in authority, but respect, obey, love, and serve them. And so it appears that Jesus is telling us to disobey this commandment of God, to turn against our own kin and willingly break up families. What in the world is Jesus saying? So there are a couple of ways of reading the Bible. One way of reading the Bible is for instructions on what to do, what is right behavior and proper attitude. Another way of reading the Bible is description of what is true, an honest look at sin and God's redeeming acts. And so Jesus is not giving us instructions here, telling us to rebel against our parents. He's just describing reality, that this is how things are when God's kingdom comes to bring about righteousness and justice. What Jesus is saying in this gospel reading is not meant to be instructions on what to do, but is a description of what is true. Jesus is laying out the facts that following Jesus, being godly people seeking justice, will lead to division. Trying to change things for the better will lead to conflict. Bringing about real justice for the oppressed will be political. Jesus came to redeem, to change the world and change the way things are, to make things right, and there will be resistance to change. And so Jesus is describing in these verses the reality that familiar habits and systemic injustice will resist change, that comforts and privilege are hard to give up, that family ties and loyalties will pressure members to preserve family at all costs, even if those familiar ways are harmful. To make sense of this gospel reading, it is necessary to note who Jesus is talking to. Who is the audience? The audience is those Christians who have chosen to follow Jesus. And because they chose to follow Jesus, to live the way Jesus commands, they have been thrown out of their homes, cast out by parents who demand loyalty above God, rejected by spouse who would not tolerate anything but blind patriotism, cut off for being different. Jesus is speaking to those who have been abandoned by family, who have nowhere to go, who have no other protection or support, who are on the streets with nothing. In the time of Jesus, to be without family was to be nobody, to have no name and no identity, have no access to help in time of need, have no one who cares. To be without family was to have no say in society, to not be recognized or given a chance, to have no place and to belong and belong nowhere, to belong to no one. Widows were such people. Orphan children were such people. Lepers and beggars were such people. Foreigners were such people. Those who did not fit in were such people. No name, no one to defend, no one to help, no chance, no wealth. They were pushed aside, ignored, and left vulnerable. But Jesus promised an alternative family. The church is family for those who don't have any support from kin. These verses in the Gospel of Luke are not meant for us comfortable Christians who have most things going well, not meant for us for whom life does work out. These verses of Luke are meant for the followers of Jesus who strive to be faithful and to live honorably, and because of it, are rejected by their own father and mother. Jesus tells them to not be surprised at the rejection, because the ways of God stand as challenge to status quo that is blind to routine inequity, stands as criticism of assumed normal ways that continuously abuse and demean. So when you see a cloud rising, you know it's going to rain. And when the wind comes from the south, you know it's going to get hot. And when the ways of God begin to be practiced, you know privileged people will become upset. And when corrupt ways and sinful structures are challenged, the backlash is divisive, mean, and often violent. You know it will come. One of my favorite gospel hymns, Stand By Me, is a prayer for such people. It is prayer directly to God, pleading for God to be anchor and life when all else is failing. Stand By Me was written from direct experience of having nothing left, having the evils of the world descend and nowhere else to turn. Charles Albert Tinley, the songwriter, was born in 1851. His father was a slave. And his mother was free. His parents died when he was about 5 years old, and so he was taken in by his mother's sister, but was expected to work to keep his keep, to earn his keep. In his book of sermons in 1932, he speaks of being hired out as a young boy, in other words, a victim of child labor. And in that time after the Civil War, when the economics of slavery were not easily given up, he had to work. Charles Tinley lived in a time, in a world, when black people were given no opportunity to advance. when whites were suspicious of them for their newfound freedom, when the country was still divided and raw from years of violent war and hate. Charles Tinley was largely self-taught throughout his lifetime. He learned to read mostly on his own, picking up scraps of paper he found on the streets, sounding out the letters until he could begin to read words. And the Bible was his reading lesson. And later he took a correspondence courses to become a Methodist minister. Tinley was known for being a captivating preacher and for taking an active role in the betterment of the people in his community. And in that time, following the Civil War, in the time of Reconstruction and Jim Crow, in the time of violence and lynchings and rape of African Americans, Charles Tinley wrote, "When the storms of life are raging, it is a prayer for strength to endure of the hate and violence bent on oppressing. It is a prayer for hope when all's aflame. It's a prayer to survive. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship upon the sea, thou who rulest wind and water, stand by me. In the midst of tribulation, stand by me. And when the hosts of hell assail and my strength begins to fail, thou who never lost a battle, stand by me. And when I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When my life becomes a burden and I'm nearing chilly Jordan, O thou lily of the valley, stand by me. When the world has gone off its rails, when uncontrolled anger rots the heart of nation, when unmitigated frustration erupts in mass shooting, thou who rulest wind and water, give anchor in these dangerous times. When my voice is ignored, my wisdom dismissed, my face unseen, thou who knowest all about me, stand by me." Charles Tinley knew a life of insecurity and uncertainty, knew the fear of being vulnerable without anyone to help. And he also knew that there is one hope that will never abandon. He knew one strength that would never let go. And may the one who never lost the battle, who rulest wind and water, stand with you, stand by me, stand with us now and always. Amen.